Welcome to Right to Life, Michigan's Life Beat. I am your host today, Chris Gast, and joining back from a successful trip to Washington, D.C. for the March for Life. And joining us today are Anna Visser and Grace Hemeke. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
You should be welcoming me since I'm back.
Welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you. That's so nice of you. Today we have a little different take on our usual format. We usually have like three stories we talk about. And today we're going to kind of talk about only one theme, but it's kind of, you can see it in various stories that happened in the last week or two. So the theme for today's podcast, and I'm sure Anna will come up with a great title for it down the road, but is sort of just the cognitive dissonance of modern societies, how we talk about, you know, the future and everything's going to get better in the future and children are our future and whatnot, and everything's great and we have all this wonderful technology and food and clothing, shelter, all these great things. Yet somehow society is also so awful we can't bother replacing it, and how it's, we've come to take this view of society almost hating it, and we've projected that into the massive slaughter of the unborn child. So
let's get into it.
Let's start with our dear friend Governor Gretchen Whitmer this week, who gave her customary annual State of the State address. And I'll be honest, I did not watch the entire address. I don't know if either of you two did.
I watched most of it.
I'm sorry. My condolences.
I didn't make it to the end.
Okay. But perhaps, Anna, then you would like to comment on Whitmer's thoughts about children are our future, and yet we need to lead Michigan past the bigotry of valuing unborn children.
You know, she even went as far as to give a shout out of one of the representatives there whose wife had a baby the day before, and to congratulate him, and then to go on to say that these infants being born, you know, like now in our state are our future. We need to make sure that they're successful. And then she went on to say, talk about how preschool should be more affordable and how we need to make sure that our kids are growing up in safe neighborhoods, and just really emphasized and focused on making sure that kids are prospering and we have a state for them to live in and we can continue on. But then, not shockingly, she went on to say that she's going to continue to fight for abortion and it's super important in our state. And I don't.
Children are our future. Not those children. No, not those children.
Only if you, I don't even know.
Only if
it's,
you want.
It's not surprising, but it's just like, I don't know what she's thinking.
Well, she did say that in referring to Proposal 3 and enshrining the death of unborn children into our Michigan Constitution, that it was somehow going to give Michigan a massive advantage in growing our population. By encouraging people from other states, specifically she said, talked about businesses kind of sort of singling out Ohio and Indiana.
Yep.
And I believe her quote was directly, bigotry is bad for business, implying that to value the unborn child is bigotry.
Yeah.
And but not valuing unborn children and calling them, you know, fetuses and tumors and parasites and clumps of tissue, that's not bigotry. That's caring and tolerance.
You know, maybe she thinks that way because she's going to be the governor for the next 4 years, right? And so she wants her...
We'll see. I think she has presidential aspirations.
Okay, well, but technically she's governor for the next 4 years. She wants her stats to look good. She wants everyone to think she did a good job. She helped our state. She grew our population. She's not going to look at the big picture of what's the next generation or what is our state going to look like in 10 years? What's it going to look like in 20 years? She's not thinking like that because she's not in charge of our state in 10 years. She's in charge of our state for the next 4 years. What immediately grows our population? People coming here and moving here, not them having kids. Well, that also does, but for her agenda, that works, is making people feel like they have more constitutional rights in our state, so they're going to come here. I don't know. That's just my thought. I'm trying to figure out how she's thinking.
Well, yeah, back, 20 years ago, this is kind of like Governor Granholm and her Cool Cities initiative, and we're going to get a bunch of young people to move here. Yeah, that didn't really happen. But then again, Governor Granholm, wasn't able to put abortion in the Michigan Constitution. So, now there may be something to that. I don't know if either of you saw the Man on the Street interviews. I think we did. We talked about it, of the ladies in Texas who were saying that they would rather have a right to abortion than a right to vote.
California.
Was it California?
Yes. We talked about this last week on the podcast.
Oh, you did? I was in D.C. I missed it. So. sorry about that. So, yeah, so there may be something to that. But, again, at the same time, you're turning off people who, want to grow up in a state where they don't have to worry about their children being whisked away to abortion facility for a tax-funded abortion without their knowledge.
Do people feel that? Okay, I know people feel that strongly about it, but will they actually move states because of that? Whereas someone who's looking for an abortion and is so caught up in it would move here. When Proposal 3 happened, how many people do you know that moved states because they were so upset about it and wanted to live in a pro-life state? I don't know any.
No one's moved yet, but those effects are going to kind of have to snowball. I did see some people say, I'm going to leave the state because of it.
Will they actually?
I'm going to be honest.
A lot of people said they'd leave America if Trump was president.
A lot of people do say that, but you look at California and you look at New York, and they are just hemorrhaging people moving to other states.
Right, but that really picked up for California during the lockdowns.
It's true.
And there were immediate effects of that on people's lives. They didn't have control over it.
It's true.
So, maybe people in Michigan are just thinking that they won't get an abortion. Like, the pro-lifers, until their tax dollars start paying for abortions, or until abortion clinics are in their immediate towns, it doesn't directly affect their lives.
Right, but I'm saying, we are going to be getting there, and as someone with 4 small children, you do think about what kind of state are my children growing up in,
See, well, they're growing up in a New York or a California.
At this rate. So, to be honest, yeah, I am strongly considering leaving the state. Be honest, the only thing keeping me here, if I were a transplant, if I had a bunch of family back in South Carolina, I'd be gone tomorrow. But I do have a lot of family in the state. That's what's keeping me here. I don't know. We'll see. One country that really stinks at keeping people, for a variety of reasons, not just including abortion, is China. I know we've talked about China many times in the podcast. I did think it was interesting. There was a news story in The Guardian this week where they were interviewing, it's amazing to me how China's population crisis is starting to really sink in and be reported and talked about in the media. I still think a lot of people don't take it seriously because they have, again, they have this cognitive dissonance that the future is going to be great only if we have fewer people in it. China is farther along than we are, and they're kind of seeing the bitter fruits of their one-child policy and how they can't seem to reverse course. There's this Guardian article, there's a term for this mindset among the Chinese people, because now the Chinese government, of course, they've gotten rid of the one-child policy. I think it's up to three children, and they started to put some restrictions on abortions, and who knows how far they're going to continue in that mold. But people don't want to have kids. And so people, as reported again in the media, who knows if this is a really widespread term, but the term for it is the last generation. That people in China think life there is so awful and modern life is so terrible, and how can we bring a child into this world that we want to actively be the last generation. Like, it's a term of endearment for their own situation, not a insult.
Which, that term was trending among, like, millions of people, I think on Twitter they said, but it got shut down by the Chinese government, obviously, very quickly. But the, like, millions of people were talking about that and saying, like, we want to be the last generation in China. It wasn't just a little couple people are saying it.
You know, it's amazing. I'm not a Chinese, I'm expert on Chinese history, but, you know, the odds of dying young in China from various things, from floods to famines to war to forced famines over the last, you know, five to plagues over the last 500,000 years has just been astronomical. You look in history at some of these, you know, Yellow River floods killing an astronomical number of people, and you're like, that's wow. How do they persevere as a nation in the face of that? But now we have, and China does not nearly have as high of a standard of living as we do in America, but all the advances they have in China now in terms of medicine and food, clothing, shelter, transportation, instant global telecommunications, it's never been easier to be alive in China today in terms of material wealth. Obviously, they have a very repressive government. It's been that way for, about 70 years now. But still, it's not just China. This mindset, you know, life has never been easier, but we should be the last generation. And essentially what they're saying is just end humanity and call it a day. End the world. They're like little mini Bond villains, except even the Bond villains want to, like, start human society over in this weird undersea colony. Like, it's a mindset worse than being a Bond villain.
So when I saw this story, Live Action did a little article about it, about the Guardian story. It made me think about how people in the U.S. during COVID were like, I don't want to bring a kid into this world. More like Western, like first world problems. I'm worried about climate change and how we're affecting the planet. COVID was a big one. So you hear those, and when I hear those, I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, that's such a stupid thing to think of why you shouldn't have kids. Like, you'll be okay, you know? But then I read the story from The Guardian, and we'll never know what that feels like in China because they were saying, we want to be the last generation because how are we supposed to have kids? Send them to school. We can't send them to public school because they read propaganda. So then you have to pay for a broad school, and that's expensive. I don't have money for that. And I was like, when I hear that people don't want to have kids, I think about the stupid ones. I don't want to deal with climate change. What if the world ends while my kid is growing up, or COVID? We never hear, oh, I live in a communist country. So I was like, that's interesting. Because we look at that, it still is insane, but we think that it's like bonkers that they would think that. I don't know. I just think it's...
We can't relate to the climate change, to COVID. That's crazy that you would not have a kid because of that.
That's what I'm saying. And that's
but you look at China.
But people in the U.S., like, those are the excuses that they are using.
Right. And then the Chinese excuses, when we look at it, we could almost not relate with their situation, but we could understand maybe why they're saying that.
Yeah. I'm not saying, like, that makes it right or that's a good reason. I'm just saying it you can see where they're coming from, as opposed to COVID,
climate change. Yep.
Yeah.
But so, you know, you talk about this Chinese story to a lot of people, and you know, I mentioned a few people, and the reaction from some is, who you, I would say otherwise are pro-life, is good. You know, looking at China as a adversary or a malevolent force in the world in terms of their propaganda and politics and whatnot. But, you know, it's not good. You know, I think maybe as Americans we can appreciate after the 2000s that go a little bit into foreign policy here, that you know, a stable, bad place to live is maybe better than an unstable place that becomes even worse to live. You think about Iraq and how bad life under Saddam Hussein was, and then they were on the road to transitioning to ISIS. Or you look at Afghanistan, how things might be even worse now and more unstable. You know, if China goes through a population crisis, you know, we may think that's great for us, but what may replace the Chinese government may not be better. I know I've thought about, like, at what point is China going to start forcing people to have babies and manufacture babies? Let's say they overthrow the government and whatnot, but then they're still in this dire strait of, okay, now it's not going to help. We still don't want to have kids. What are we going to do? You know, are the new people going to come in be even worse in that regard?
It's going to turn into The Handmaid's Tale. I can't think of the
it
show.
Might, instead of the religious basis that the writer has an axe to grind, it's going to be a progressive version. Under his eye now means Barack Obama or something, I don't know. but I think a great kind of case study for this is the Koreas. So China's now getting total fertility rate numbers, their estimates, you wonder if the Chinese government is being totally honest with, you know, if they're saying it's this bad, is it even worse? You know, how we track those numbers are not always great, but you know, China's total fertility rate is down about 1.4. So that means the average family in China is only having 1.4 children. Obviously, to sustain population, you need at least 2 children, a little bit more to make up for the fact that some people never, you know, have children or they die young. Now, we don't have numbers from, we don't have accurate numbers from North Korea, but South Korea, so we have one nation, if you will, that's been split in half for decades. One is a communist dictatorship, obviously, or, you know, could be considered the worst place in the world to live in terms of repression and control and opportunities and economically. I mean, you can see satellite photos of the Korean Peninsula at night and see this tiny little dot that is Pyongyang, and then South Korea is a brilliant Christmas tree. And then you have South Korea, where they have a relatively stable form of government that only breaks out in fistfights, you know, every couple of years for our entertainment on the news media. They're a wealthy society, you know, they're not without problems, but they're doing great. And South Korea's total fertility rate is under 1. The number I found, 1.1, high number from the CIA fact book, but I also found 0.8, so less than 1 child per family. And this is not a country like China where they were literally forcing people to have abortions and fining them into oblivion if they had more than 1 kid. This is a society that...
Or getting rid of all of their females.
Right. I mean, this is a society that we would consider democratic and liberal and modern, and they are basically committing suicide to the point where, and it's hard for me to wrap my head around this, but that North Korea could outlast South Korea And I don't know. So if South Korea's population numbers get even worse, are they going to be forced to join North Korea? Is North Korea going to be more stabilist and prosperous than South Korea in one, two, three generations? That shouldn't even be a question.
Is that their goal? Like, are they trying to?
Well, as this I saw today,
are they worried
on news? No, I mean
they're not worried, right? China's worried.
This is China thinks long term.
China is worried because right, and they should feel a little bit bad about it because they, by government policy, created their own problem.
Right. I mean, they're having around one kid per family, probably because they're so used to the one child policy.
Right. But so the New York Times did an article today in their opinion column, and the title is How to End South Korea's Birth Strike? Feminism. And as they say, South Korea has recorded the world's lowest fertility rate for the past 3 years. And this is a quote in the guest essay by a author named Hwan Young, or Jung, how do they say that? I don't know how they pronounce their J's. Quote, women in particular are fed up with this traditionalist society's impossible expectations of mothers, so they are quitting. It's from the story.
So they're doing it on purpose.
They're doing it on purpose. They think that even in a society as Korea, it's so traditionalist, life is so terrible, we don't want to have children in this circumstance, even though I can almost guarantee you that the level of traditionalism in South Korea compared to, say, 100 years ago is unimaginable. And
I don't know if you can compare them.
Is unimaginably better. So as late as the 1960s, women in South Korea were having 6 children on average. And this is from the New York Times article. But pursuing economic development, the state carried out an aggressive population control program. In about 20 years, women were having fewer than the 2.1 children needed for replenishment. The latest available data from South Korea's statistics agency put the fertility rate at 0.81 for 2021, and by the third quarter of 2021, it was 0.79. So it was dropping like a rock, and it's not continuing. And I know in South Korea, after COVID, they're talking about having an untacked society where you just don't interact with human beings very often. It does not bode well for making babies.
I feel like South Korea and China are, you can't compare them.
Well, that's the point, is that they're very different societies. You would say that to go
But they're doing it for two very different reasons. South Korea is being so liberal that the women there are saying, well, I'm more than just a baby maker. China is saying, like, my country is so bad that I don't want my kids to. They're different reasons.
Well, they are. I mean, but even China's like, oh, we got to do something. Like, I don't think South Korea is
going to
do anything. No, it
doesn't. Yeah.
And this lady, I didn't read the full article because I don't have a subscription to the New York Times, but I don't know that making South Korea more feminist is going to fix it.
No. It's not. Because it sounds like that's the reason that they're in this problem is because of that. Because, I don't know.
Yeah. And we can't brag in America, you know. According to one statistic, America's total fertility rate is 1.6. That's a tongue twister. Total fertility rate is 1.6. I've seen 1.7. We're under 2. We've been under, you know, replacement fertility for quite a while in America, and our numbers keep dropping. I know a lot of people predicted a COVID baby boom because we're all locked inside, but that didn't happen. And, you know, if you ask people today, if you ask the average American on the street, what's your opinion about, you know, population and whatnot, you know, I think it's amazing how in modern societies we've all come to believe that humanity is the problem. And that despite how good we have it, relative to just a few generations ago, we just don't want to have kids. I mean, if you walked up to someone in America 100 years ago, besides Margaret Sanger, and told them, you know what, life is awful, don't have kids.
Well, that's because they...
Would they even Would they even engage with that person? Could they even, like, understand what that person's talking about? And then if that person, like, came back from the future, was like, oh, and by the way, you can call someone in another country instantly. Well, oh, by the way, we have so much food, we have an obesity problem in America. Oh, by the way, oh, man, this house costs so much. It's four times as big as your house right now, but, you know.
Yeah, but you're assuming that newer technology means that people are going to be happier and...
Well, I'm not assuming that, but... I mean, one should assume that. Like...
I don't know that I would necessarily assume that.
My takeaway is that if you care about the future and, like, future generations, you're going to have some sort of sense of responsibility and self-sacrifice to be a mom and take the time to create babies and give birth and teach them and bring them up. And if you're a dad, you're going to sacrifice so much of your life providing for this family, and no government official has that kind of self-sacrifice in America. And that's why they won't have policies that would help get that birth rate back up, because they don't care that much about the future that they themselves are willing to sacrifice and take responsibility.
But that's the ironic thing for me. It's a sacrifice. Well, it's more like an investment. Like, if you do this, we're all going to be better off down the road. If you don't do this, you're going to feel like you're better now.
When you're
but down
here,
the road, you're going to be in a horrible situation. Like, in a sense, we, by not having babies, we are sacrificing our future.
But not, it's ourselves. Not your future.
Right.
Because it's the next generation's future. We're so selfish.
We're not going to be here to see the implications if people stopped having kids.
You two are in.
Except for maybe you don't get your...
Okay, question.
Chris won't be here.
Either of you think that you're going to
retirement or whatever.
Do either of you think you're going to get Social Security?
Probably not.
Wow, see, you've already resigned yourselves to the decline, so you're already seeing the effects of it.
With Social Security,
people our age aren't really thinking about that. Are you?
I think it's a bad system in the first place.
But we know that because we work here and we know that that's a thing. But
you're getting taxed for it. It's coming out of your paycheck.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the average young adult is not thinking about that.
I know. They're only thinking about right now.
And the same as
politicians. But
they're
not thinking about themselves in 20 years.
Right. The same way as politicians aren't going to make policies to help our world in 100 years because they're like, I don't care. I'm not going to be here.
But Gretchen Whitmer wants to think. Gretchen Whitmer wants universal pre-K, and it will solve all of our problems, and everyone will be happy in 20 years.
That's because she's trying to look good for her 4-year term, and make people think that she cares about them and their children.
So, how do we convince people that human civilization should continue, and that
I don't know.
Even looking at your life 10 years down the road is an important thing.
Is that a question Right to Life can even answer?
I think, well, if when you get into arguments about abortion, obviously, I mean, that's what we're talking about right now. Like, I don't want to be pregnant. I want to do what I want to do right now. I do not care about the long-term implications for the child, obviously, but even myself. Down the road, you know.
Right, we'd say that's bad.
But I would say that this is the basic abortion mindset, is the whole population control attitudes, the short-term thinking.
Which is so strange to me that people even think about that, because when you have a kid, you're not like, oh, I'm going to have a baby so I can continue our world. No one thinks like that, I don't think. If you do, that's weird. You're thinking like, oh, I want to have a baby.
It's weird to think how every other human being thought about life.
That's a little strange. If you're like, oh, I want to have a baby because I want to increase the population. That is weird.
Really?
A little bit.
Yes. The way modern society
operates. That's
too
analytical.
Yeah.
Okay. That surprises me.
So it's hard to see.
You would want to have a baby because you want to have a baby with someone that you love, or you want to have your own kids, or you want to raise kids, or you're not.
Right, but like, why? To all of those, why? Just one step further.
It's what it's normal, I guess.
But it's not. Nobody has like population decline.
That's the next thing in people's lives is you have kids, and that's the natural progression. I don't know.
Okay. I would say not anymore. Like, we have the technology that you can marry the best friend of your life and live together forever and never have kids ever. It's no longer part of
the life story.
Yeah.
Is there a life story anymore?
Apparently not.
Well, a lot of high-end topics, but, you know, I've always thought the pro-life movement, in the long run, we should be optimistic because, you know, when people start to face the implications of these long-term decisions in a very short-term way, then that'll be a great opportunity to tell people that, guess what? It's great to be alive in humanity, and that's wonderful. But yeah, it's hard to see in the short term as a pro-life movement in a lot of places being successful when the basic mindset of the people is human beings are problems. Life in modern society, despite all of everything that we have, is misery. And the idea that the old expression that having a baby is a vote that the world continue, they would vote to be the last generation, that is a problem that we're going to have to address as a movement and in our own lives. Mm-hmm. All right, went a little bit long. That's all the time we have for this edition. Join us again next week. Have a wonderful weekend.